Sermon on the Mount, Jesus announces his purpose regarding the law, and then makes a series of "you have heard" statements. He addresses the common teaching around anger, integrity, and love, but then shows how each of these should be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus' words are to be the foundation of how we live as believers. In our world, the common understanding of anger, integrity, and love are centered around what is best for self. What would it be like if believers lived according to Jesus' words? But I say, these are words to live by.
The truth is, words really do matter. But at the same time, I think we could kind of just be honest and say that at times, words just seem so insignificant, irrelevant. You know, they're only words, we will even say. But words really matter. And it's important that you have good words and right words. In fact, I got a shirt for Father's Day that I think it's absolutely the best. And this is what the shirt says. It says, "Papa knows everything," which I humbly say is true. But it's the subtext that actually is a little more valuable. It says, if he doesn't know, he makes stuff up really fast. And I love that. And that's the truth about all of us, isn't it? We like to give this presentation. We know it all, and if we don't know it all, well, heck, we just make stuff up quickly. Words matter. Your words matter. Someone once put it like this: actions prove who someone is. Words just prove who they want to be. I would edit that a little bit. I would say actions prove who someone is. Words just prove who they want you to believe them to be. You know, a lot of times we use our words to deceive. I mean, you see the disconnect, right? But the truth is, words are really powerful in your life. I've been reading a book over the last couple of months. It's called The Body Keeps the Score. It's a book about how trauma in life, think disappointments or wounds or hurts or brokenness, how all of that shows up in a mind-body connection. But there's this subtext that runs through the book about your words. And the message is that your words have the potential to really wound and traumatize. And at the very same time, your words have the power to dramatically bring healing. Words are powerful. Your words are powerful. The Bible tells us this much. James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "See how a very small fire can be set can set many trees on fire. The tongue is a fire. It's full of wrong. It poisons the whole body. The tongue sets our whole lives on fire with the fire that comes from hell." I love how the message paraphrases that. Listen to what it says. "A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right out of the pit of hell." Wow, you don't have to look very far in our world to see plenty of evidence of that right now. But let me also quickly say, and you don't have to look too far back in each of our own personal histories to see how our words have had that same effect in our lives. Jesus introduces this topic of words in this section of the Sermon on the Mount that we're calling, "But I Say to You." Six times Jesus said, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." What Jesus is teaching us in this passage is that there ought to be a difference. There ought to be a difference in how we experience and use anger. There ought to be a difference, he said. in how we understand God's word and hear it. There ought to be a difference, as we'll see today, in even our words. If you have your Bible, open with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 33 through 37. And as you turn there, let me just take a quick minute to introduce myself to any of you that may be new with us today here in the house or those who are online. I'm Kevin Lee. I'm one of the pastors, and we're so glad that you have gathered with us. And let me remind you something really important that is really easy to forget, and that is to fill out your digital connect card. Whether you are online or right here, make sure you fill that out so that we can stay connected, so that we can be praying for you, so that if there's a ministry need, we're aware of that. And speaking of digital connect cards, I'm going to give you a prayer request myself today on behalf of my wife, Diana, who is having knee replacement surgery this Tuesday. So if you would you pray for her and pray for us as we go through this together? Now, let me tell you, before I read these words, I think there's a tendency with these words to kind of read it and go, really? Seems kind of, you know, irrelevant. I don't see how that applies to me. But let me just suggest, if Jesus says, "But I say to you," we probably ought to listen, don't you think? All right, so let's listen to what he says. He says, "You have also heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not make any vows. Do not say, 'By heaven,' because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, 'By the earth,' because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, 'By Jerusalem,' for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, 'By my head,' for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple, 'Yes, I will,' or 'No, I won't.' Anything beyond this is from the evil one." All right, true confession. How many of you made an oath or a vow this week and you swore by the city of Jerusalem? Let's just confess. None of us. And so we look at that and we go, I don't get the relevance of this. But he's talking about how important our words are and how important oaths are and the vows that we make. Our tendency is to look at it and go, I don't see the importance. They're just words. Sometimes they're just empty words. But the truth is, vows and oaths and promises and pledges and commitments that we make, they really do matter, and they have long-term impact. And you can see it all over our culture. I got to thinking as I was writing this message about all the vows and oaths that are part of our world. Physicians, for example, they have the Hippocratic Oath, in which they pledge to care for people in need. And listen, if you're sick, you want them to abide by that oath. In government service, many offices there have oaths that they will make before they begin their time of service. Perhaps the one that you've heard most often: "I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States." That's pretty important, we would all concur. Law enforcement officers likewise have an oath, a pledge that they make, something like this: "On my honor, I will never betray my badge, my integrity, my character, or the public trust." New citizens who become a part of our nation have a naturalization oath, where they say, "I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty," and on it goes. If you are in a court of law and you're asked to give a witness, you will be asked something like, "Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give is truthful?" Likewise, in weddings, we stand before a community and we vow, "I take you, for better or for worse, to have and to hold from this day forward,
for richer or poorer, sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. Those are just some of the formal vows that we speak. So many other commitments that we make. But then Jesus says, but I say, do not make any vows. So we've been getting it wrong all these years? We should make those promises? We should make those commitments? I think we got to go a little deeper than that. You see, there's a tendency that we take words of Jesus like that and we want to transform it into a rule that we can keep, because then we got a checklist. Well, I didn't do that, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. But it goes so much deeper than some kind of legalistic system of a list of do's and don'ts. In fact, I would say this to you, that do not right there, that do not does not mean you cannot make any vow. And let me give you the context for why I would say that. There is so much more than a prohibition to a vow in this word. That word in verse 33 for the word vow is only used this one time in the entirety of the Bible. And it means literally, do not falsely swear. We would say, do not perjure yourself. Do not commit perjury. Avoiding oaths is really not the issue. Integrity is the key to understanding what Jesus is talking about. And what he is saying is, your words always matter. And literally, when you read throughout the whole story of Scripture, you see that oaths and vows and covenants are a very important part of our life experience with God. Oaths can be found throughout the Bible. Paul himself, in writing in the New Testament, many times makes an oath. For example, 2 Corinthians 1:18. Paul says, as God is true, by the way, that's an oath, as God is true, my yes means yes. I'm not the kind of person who says one thing and means another. When Paul says that, he's making an oath. Galatians 1:20, Paul says, I declare before God, that is an oath. I declare before God that what I'm writing you is not a lie. Even Jesus was in a place where he's asked to take an oath on his trial. Matthew 26:63 says this, then the high priest said to him, I demand in the name of the living God. That was an oath that he was putting him under. Up till then, Jesus had remained silent. But once he is put under oath, I demand in the name of the living God that you tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus answered, essentially stepping into a consent of an oath. The Bible even tells us, warns us, that when we make an oath, that when we make a vow, we are to complete that commitment. Deuteronomy 23:21 says this, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you'll be guilty of sin. So in the context of all of Scripture, you need to see that this do not does not mean that you can never make a vow or a promise or a commitment or a pledge. This is not a rule to follow, but it is a call to integrity in your life. That your words line up with honesty and authenticity and integrity. Keep your word, is what Jesus is saying. And here's the truth. It's not always easy to keep your word. Have you ever experienced that? Do you ever not keep your word? I had an incident that happened during this COVID lockdown thing that's going on where I didn't keep my word. Now listen, I did it on accident, okay? So maybe you can cut me some grace. But it's something that I had always feared, because I knew that it was always a possibility, but it just seemed like it was, you know, something so far out that it just wouldn't happen. But I didn't keep my word. And the word that I didn't keep was, I forgot I had a wedding. I had given them my word.
It was on a Friday. I'm usually off on Friday. Amen, brother. I heard the groan. I appreciate the sympathy. I'm downtown running errands. Because that's the day I take care of my elderly parents, you see. So you got to cut me some grace. I'm downtown running errands for my parents, and all of a sudden I get a text from the groom. And I go, oh my goodness. Did you know that you can get from downtown Hopkinsville to your house, change your clothes, shave, print out your ceremony, and get to church within 25 minutes and only be 2 minutes late for the ceremony? I felt like such a dog. I'd given them my word. I still feel like a dog. In fact, that bride, I owe her for the rest of my life. Whatever she needs, whatever she wants, you know? Let me ask you, do you live up to all your words? You see, this is not a rule that you just check off and say, well, I'm not going to say a vow. It's, are you true to all your words? This is kind of the takeaway from that first verse. We are to passionately pursue authenticity, where our lives and our words just line up together, because it reflects who I really am and whose I really am. But that's not all. This do not that Jesus says, it also means essentially this: do not be deceitful. You should not be deceitful. Be not deceitful. You see, the entire discussion that Jesus addresses are the nuances of compartmentalization. You see, in that culture, everybody knew that if I swear by God's name, if I swear by God's person, well, then I'm held accountable to that. But they began to draw some fine lines, you see, and said, well, if I swear by God's name, then I have to be true to that. But if I just swear a promise by heaven, well, that's not the same thing. Or I could swear by earth, or I could swear by Jerusalem, or I could swear by the gift on the altar, but not the altar. They had all of these fine lines that they would follow and say, this area of my life I'm held accountable, but now over here in this area of my life I'm not accountable. And here's the thing, we still do that to this very day. There's a tendency that we have to look at our lives and say, well, you know, over here, this is my church life, this is my faith life, and this is supposed to be one thing, but now this over here, you know, it's just secular life. It's just the work world. And these are two different worlds, and my words cannot be held accountable over here. We finally divide life. But you see, what Jesus tells us is that God is sovereign over everything. God is sovereign over all of your words. It's not a matter of, you know, church words and life words. He is sovereign over all of life. Matter all the time. And sometimes we can kind of miss that point. Now, when I was growing up and grew up in the church, and when I was growing up and I would come to this verse, the only translation that was out there was the King James Version, and this is what the King James Version says about verse 34: but I say to you, swear not at all. And that's exactly how my parents taught me: don't you swear. Swear not at all. And that's what I always thought it meant. I thought it meant simply, don't cuss, don't swear, don't go with boys or girls that do. You know, that's what it meant. That's not what's being talked about here. However, let's be clear that God's word clearly teaches us that all of our language, habits, and word choice matters in every arena of life. Listen to these verses. Colossians 3:8. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. James 3:10. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Ephesians 5:4. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes.
These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Exodus 20, verse 7. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Let me ask you, why is it that we are so tempted to take that which is most sacred, the name of God, and use it in the most meaningless, empty ways? Your words matter. All your words matter. And the point that Jesus seems to be making is, listen, you got to quit playing word games. Every word belongs to your Father. In fact, the idea comes in a stark warning later on in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Every word? Every word. Every word I speak matters. Is it any wonder that the psalmist breathes out this prayer on all of our behalf? Psalms 141, verse 3. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Or a little bit more to the point, Psalms 39, 1. I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth. Look, I'm just going to say it. Some of us, some of you, maybe you don't need a mask nearly as much as you could use a muzzle. Now, don't throw any elbows at anybody. Words matter. You know how much words matter? Your words have the power to make the difference in your eternity, in your relationship with God Himself, in the hope of heaven. Listen to what Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Words matter that much. And that's why we get this other takeaway. We are to ruthlessly eradicate duplicity in our lives. The first takeaway was passionately pursue authenticity, ruthlessly eradicate duplicity. But this do not that Jesus speaks of, essentially this do not means be different. Now, some of you are just really gifted at being different. You know what I'm saying? But this is a good kind of different that I'm talking about, specifically this kind of different. What Jesus is telling us, a theme that we see throughout the scriptures, is that if we're a Jesus follower, we ought to be the same with everybody that we meet. And listen, that's different in this world. We tend to treat people differently. It all depends on what we want from them or how we hope to impress them or even in what way we might be trying to get something out of them, and we try to manipulate with our words. But Jesus saying be the same with everyone you meet. That's what Jesus is saying, that be different from that common way of using people. Treat people the same with honesty, authenticity. Be free from duplicity. Be a model of integrity with everyone. That's why when he summarized it, he said, listen, you just need to let your yes be yes, and everybody know it. And your no, if you say no, then that's a no. Treat people with compassion and with grace and with mercy and love and, yes, the truth. We are to be wholly and completely authentic Jesus followers who live with integrity. Now, that word integrity, it means literally whole or undivided. Do you think our world could actually use a people that were whole and undivided? Tony Dungy put it this way: integrity is the choice between what's convenient and what's right. I love that. In other words, you got to be careful that there's nothing lurking under the surface, no hidden agenda, no ulterior motive, not using people for what you can get from them. Be different. Live out that kind of difference that you see in Jesus himself. Nothing hidden under the surface. Because as he said, you know, one of these days we're going to give an account for every careless word that we've spoken. But you know, just before he said that, Jesus said this: whatever is in your heart determines what you say. In other words, my words, your words reveal our heart. Now, you know that, right? How many times in our life have we been in the midst of a moment and all of a sudden our words reveal something in our heart that we really didn't want anybody else to know, that we wanted to keep hidden? But whatever is in you will come out of you. And listen, you just need to know that there are some things lurking just under the surface in your heart, and they can be deadly and destructive for you and for others. That's why you pursue integrity. In fact, I saw a video of this recently that kind of reminded me of how important it is to be aware of what's just under the surface. This is drone footage, and what I want you to see is this happened at a place where these people are surfing, and this drone captured the image of this great white shark that is going around and checking out the surfers. Now listen, nobody's going to die, so don't freak out right now, but can you imagine being at a place where you are unaware that this beast is right there? I mean, look how big it is. It could swallow one of those things just immediately. And the truth is, maybe I'm being a little passive aggressive here for all those people who've gone to the beach, and I want to freak them out a little bit, all right? So anyways, you got to be careful of what is under the surface in you. What's just under the surface in your heart that you don't want revealed? That's really what's at the heart of this, and that's the final takeaway. Every day, live with integrity. Whole. Undivided. Be different than the world. Be the same as Jesus. Look like him. Be like him. And in fact, in closing, I want you to hear what that kind of a life of integrity might just look like. This is written by a man by the name of Peter. And I love that because, listen, if ever there was someone whose words got him into trouble over and over again, it was Peter. If ever there was somebody who struggled to be completely a man of integrity, a follower of integrity, it was Peter. But listen to how he describes how our lives and our words are to line up. He says this in 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 8, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil." That last phrase, "the Lord turns his face." It's this picture of intensity. Can you imagine being face to face with God? I mean, Jesus said we're going to, on that day of judgment, give an account for every word we said face to face with God. It kind of reminds me of something that my mom used to say to me and my brothers on those moments when we had finally driven her to the brink. And looking at you guys, I think some of you may have heard this as well at some point in your life. Mom would look at us, and when we had crossed that line, and she would finally say in exasperation, "Just you wait until your father gets home." Whew. Still kind of gives me a little bit of the shakes, you know. That's what Peter said. If you don't live a life of integrity, you're going to be face to face with your heavenly Father, and you're going to give an account for all of your words. So let me ask you a couple questions. Have you given him the words of faith? Have you stepped into that relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you, with your mouth, confessed your faith and your trust in Jesus as your Lord? That's the first and the most important words that you need to speak. Have you cried out in repentance? I mean, the truth is, our words can be so destructive. And we always just want to just kind of wash our hands of it and say, you know, what the heck? Just words? No, it ought to break us. And we should cry out in repentance. Have you owned those words? Is your life a testimony of praise and integrity with Jesus Christ? Look, as we look around our world, we are all too familiar with words that have been weaponized. People mindlessly and carelessly using words. But then Jesus said, "But I say to you." So may your words reflect authenticity and integrity and be free from duplicity, so that your yes is yes and your no is no. And may your first yes be a yes to Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father and our Lord, we thank you so much for the truth of your word embodied in your Son that can set us free from a world of rage and a world of destruction. And Father, we thank you that our words can set us on a course to eternity and forgiveness and wholeness and integrity. Father, it's almost beyond our ability to capture the idea that a simple prayer where I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior could have the power to secure for us the gift of eternity. Of course, the truth is, Father, the power is not in the prayer. The power is in the Savior, who was the Word of God, who came and embodied the Word and died on the cross to extend grace and goodness and compassion and mercy and forgiveness to broken sinners like me. And God, my hope and my prayer would be that anyone who's not yet spoken those words, that today would be the day that with their heart they would believe, and with their heart or with their mouth they would confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.